Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, prepare to have water drip on your forehead at 15-second intervals. A guy on a last-place team had a good night.
High fly ball, deep center. Thomas back, still back, looking up. See ya! Into Monument Park. The power is back. A grand slam for Judge, and it is 6-0 Yankees.
Oh, I thought we were going to hear all of them.
No, it was just the third one, or the Grand Slam.
Oh, okay.
No, I just picked the Grand Slam. Yeah.
Oh, you just picked the Grand Slam. That's great. That's terrific. And with that win last night, they're now 17 games back. And in the wild card, they're 9.5 back. They're further behind now than they were Sunday. That really
get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That really was a great win. They're really lucky he showed up last night. How many runs did you guys give up last night? One?
Yes, which was like in the eighth or ninth inning, I think.
So they only needed one home run? Okay, good. It's kind of like Bob Uecker. I hit a grand slam. It was a big hit. Made the final 13-2. Aaron Judge's season in a nutshell. How much money is he getting? $40 million?
More?
More?
Okay.
More, yeah.
He's getting more than $40 million?
I think I think you're right. I think it's upper 30s, low 40s.
Yeah. You're playing 484 baseball.
I recognize that. Like I said on Twitter last night, or X, whatever it's called. It's too little, too late, but it was nice to see, I guess. Gave me something to cheer about.
Would they have 82 people there last night? Big game.
That actually was a pretty decent crowd, considering.
I would hope so. It's in the metro area of 14 million. All right, so... Oh, the water just drips on the forehead. But at least we got to hear your kid again.
No, that was Mark. That was his sound drop debut right there. I just recorded that last night.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, raising little robots. All right, so... What about dinner? Mom! Must be quite the week. All right. Let's get to our high school roundtable. So we're going to start with...
We got Greg and Chief here in studio, yeah. And then Zach will call us in a little bit once he gets
a
recess break at school.
Yet.
Yeah, he's going to go on
a recess break.
Yes. He said he has his recess break at 2:15 because he teaches at Selins Grove Intermediate, I think. So as soon as the kids get out to recess, he's going to call in.
Who's in charge of the classroom? Come on! Who's running the show?
I know.
Come on.
So we got Greg and Chief for now.
I can tell you right now, we've been around Zach enough. We're in the next 5 to 7 minutes. They're going to learn anything. So, God. All right, let's bring in Greg and the Chief. Greg, first of all, I understand that you, once again, in the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, conquered all.
MVP.
Well, it was fun. How's that? Everyone contributed that day.
So Cotrillo, sunk a putt.
He made one putt all day.
On 17.
On 17. But he was proud of that.
So I was. Team, it was big at the time. Yeah.
So the team took 67 shots, and you accounted for one?
And then I had the chip on the green that set us up on 16. So
yeah,
it was good back-to-back holes, and that was about it.
And then he was finished for the day.
Yeah.
But, hey, he didn't lose a ball, and the golf cart stayed on the course the whole day.
There you go.
Well, it's not difficult to lose a ball when it's going 20 yards.
That's true. We had trouble with a couple of them, but we found them.
Yeah.
Oh good. There you go. 67 shots, 65. You were just hitting exhibition shots. Okay. Wow, that's not a great percentage, Matt.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Matt, do you know what you need to get to change your game?
A tennis racket.
A chutter.
Oh, geez, yes. Yes, that's the missing link right there, the chutter.
You could borrow the suits. He's gone out and he's exclusively marketed it.
I'll keep that in mind.
So Paul Keels of Ohio State, we'll get to the games in a second here. Paul Keels of Ohio State, we're up on some green. We're playing in Bloomington, Indiana. And I was playing with Brian Bush from Michigan and Eric Sorer from Indiana and Paul. It was our group that day. And we get, I don't know, maybe he's a foot off the green. And he pulls out this club and went, oh, my goodness. I said, I've only seen one of those in my life. And he says, well, it's kind of a chipping putting tool. I said, I know. I said, the guy, a friend of mine calls it a chutter. He says, that's a ridiculous name. I said, it fits the player. All right, so.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
Then I told him, I said, he keeps stats on it. I'm 3 for 5. And Paul looks at me and says, Steve, I'm just trying to get this thing close. He says, I'm not thinking about stats. I'm thinking about, can I tap it in? All right, so Greg, Lewisburg, one scrimmage. Uh-huh. Is there a perceivable difference in some of the things you're seeing in this team compared to a few things you saw last year?
Oh, for sure. Number one, they've changed their offense and their defense to fit the personnel that they currently have. That's the major thing. Second thing, though, is they scrimmage Wellsboro, and the thing that stuck out to me defensively was three things. Their tackling was much better this year at this time of the season compared to last year. Two, their strength and speed were much different this year. They seemed to be much quicker to the ball, and the angles they were taking to make those tackles and containment was much better than last year. So those are the three things that I really noticed on the defensive side of the ball.
Do they have the quarterback to run what they want?
That's a great question. Right now they're running three different kids at quarterback, Steve. And I think Chase Wendrick has kind of stepped up in front. He had a little experience last year. But Derek Ashley, a kid came out that did not play last year. He played as a freshman, did not play last year, and came out again this year. He is a baseball player. He throws the ball nicely. I think you're going to see him play some also. And then they have a third kid that's a freshman that I think they'll try to work in occasionally just to get some experience. But they have not settled on one quarterback yet.
How do you feel about the defense?
I really like the defense. They have experience returning. They have four good linebackers. They have two defensive backs returning from last year. So I feel I think the coaching staff feels really good about their defense. Now, we'll find out more tomorrow when Shmokin, when it becomes real, so to speak. But in the scrimmage, they defensive line seem to dominate the line of scrimmage and offensive line, and they have 4 or 5 running backs that can run the ball well, but defensively they played well.
So, I mean, Dave's there as well. If we could bring you both in together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here the two of you have gone through this a lot. How exciting is it for you that here we are finally to a game week and you have games tomorrow night for each of you?
This is my favorite time of year. I don't know about Dave, but this is my favorite time of year.
Yeah, mine too. You know, you got a lot of things going on, and it's always, I guess, the introduction to our the fall. But nothing takes the place of football on Friday night, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. What makes football on a Friday night exciting for each of you? Is it just the games, or is it more than that?
Well, Greg and I both played on Friday nights.
That's right.
And when you were in high school, that Friday before the game or the Friday before the Saturday game, that's basically, that was your day. I mean, that's what you had on your mind. And we both played for great coaches, and we both had good teams, and it was exciting. And that part of me hasn't left, even though it was 51 years ago the last time I stepped on the Shikellamy football field.
Yeah. Now, to me, it's the community, too. You know, you see the school coming out. Lewisburg has one of the best soccer programs in the state of Pennsylvania. But to a game, Steve, they get maybe 300 people.
Yeah.
You know, Friday night at a football game, you're easily looking at well over 1,000 people at a football game. You know, the band's there. You get the student body involved with the band. You have the cheerleaders. And then you have students that will dress the part, you know. And they sit in a section and are cheering and stuff like that. You have alumni coming back to watch the games and stuff like that. I just don't think there's anything quite like it, any other sport, that has that type of environment.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, because I grew up in Connecticut. I started for a couple of years at my high school. When I was a little kid, I went to high school games in my town.
Yeah.
And it was great, but we always played Saturdays at 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
One time we played at night, we all thought, hey, we're running out in the field. It kind of felt like we were playing Monday Night Football. You know? Like, hey. But then I came to this state, and then I found out what high school football really was all about.
Yeah.
And it's just something about, it's just different here. So
yeah, it really is.
It's different in the valley.
It is, yeah.
And then, of course, you get a little bit southeast of here, and you get into the coal region, and the two intermix, and like I said, I think you said it right, and Greg said it right. I don't think there's anything like it in a lot of the other states. I really don't.
So, Dave, there'll be a change in how Shikellamy plays. How excited are you to see the style of play and what it can mean?
Well, Coach Kaiser has given Logan Leiby the reins at offense, and Logan has transformed the wing tee into spread offense. And with Brody Raybuck back, it looks like they'll have a chance to put the ball in the air. And they might not get a lot of long passes, but knowing the way Logan played, there's going to be a lot of passes that are 8 to 10 yards and move them down the field almost like you were running the ball. So, and everybody likes to see the pass. They just do. I did not go to the scrimmage at Montoursville in person, but I get the huddle information, and I watched the scrimmage, and one of the coaches sent me their huddle game with all the comments. And you know, when our kids did what they were supposed to do, we moved the ball, Steve. When the linemen didn't fall forward or they moved their feet to get a pass rusher out of the way, we did fine. There were a lot of good comments, so. They're young, but like I said, it's the first game, so we'll see what happens, and I think it'll be exciting for everybody.
The opening game's on the road, but the new field's been put in. How excited are you with the new field being put in?
It's pretty. It really is. I mean, I guess that's one way to put it, but it's a long time coming, Steve. That should have been done back when I was still in teaching. When they remodeled the field, they just didn't put the track in, but not the artificial turf. But it's impressive. They got the big Shikellamy Braves emblem right in the middle of the field, and I can't imagine how excited those kids are. They're going to run out on it, a week from tomorrow, and it'll be interesting. You're going to get a lot more people at that game too. We play Mifflin County. That's pretty far away, but I'm sure that the home side will be, like Greg said, there's going to be a lot of people there.
To each of you, how do you view your opening game?
I think it's a game that the Lewisburg kids feel that they can win. They played Shamokin tough the last 2 years. It's been defensive battles both gears, and I think that's what they're looking at again this year. And I think they're excited to go down. They feel really good about themselves, and a lot of positive things have happened to this team in the last 9 months, so to speak. And I think they are looking forward to Friday night.
Dave? It's interesting with your game, Greg. The old coach at Lewisburg's the coach
exactly.
of Shamokin.
Exactly, he Mark is. Percent. That's right, yeah.
So it's a little bit of homecoming for him, too.
Yeah.
He's from Shamokin. He coached at Lewisburg, and now he's back at Shamokin. So.
Yeah.
Shikellamy has 44 kids on their team. At last count, there 15 of them are freshmen.
Yeah.
And that freshman crew last year were terrific. They were by far, I think, one of the best classes that I've seen come through the feeder program. The youth football at Shikellamy has been great in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade levels also. And I think this is the first time we're going to reap the benefits of that type of talent. Central Columbia is in the same situation we are. They have a lot of younger kids playing. And I was looking at the linemen. I think there's six seniors on Shikellamy's team that are linemen. And Luke Snyder is one of the kids coming back as a running back and a linebacker, but there's going to be a lot of kids get tested. I think I talked to Mikey Hoover, the defensive back coach, and he said, at the beginning of the year, I had 9 players to replace on defense from last year, and then Derek Turber-Ortiz got injured, and now he has 10. So you got one kid with experience on the defense. I think that's one of the best places to learn how to play football.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta play the football game, do your job, and if you can physically or mentally beat the guy in front of you, you're gonna do well. So I'm optimistic. I really am, Steve.
So great to hear both of you. And now we're going to bring in Zach Showers. He finally sent the kids out to recess. I mean, come on. This is what we're held. This is what we're held hostage to.
I guess so.
Oh, Zach, thanks for the time and for squeezing us
in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Give us a thumbnail on Sealands Grove after what you think of them, especially after the first scrimmage.
This is shaping up, I think, to be a pretty fun season for Sealands Grove. They're a team that has, especially offensively, you have a quarterback back in Mark Pastore who's going to be in his third year starting. You have a all-conference running back in Tucker Teets, and you have a really great wide receiver in Gavin Bastian. And I think, more importantly, you have a lot of linemen that are back on this team who have put a lot of time in the weight room. So this is a team that has a ton of experience offensively. And defensively, the line's solid. They're actually have less numbers at linebacker, which is quite unusual for a Sealands Grove team. So they're moving to a bit more of a 3-4-2 safety look as opposed to the 3-5 that they've run for the last probably close to 20 years. But this is a team, an experienced team, good leadership. I think a team that needs to develop a little bit of depth as the season goes on, but at least in the starters, I know the coaches are really excited and community is excited for what's shaping up, I think, to be a pretty fun season.
Where has he improved as a quarterback now that he's in his third season of being the starter?
I think the big thing is just decision-making. Talking to Coach Derek Hicks yesterday, one of the things that he stressed was just the ability to come to the line, and in the past it was mostly one play coming in and that's the play you're running, whereas now as a senior you're able to read the defense, and if something's there you can check in and out of a run or a pass play and look to the sidelines and switch things up. So that's, I think, just being able to process that and know where you can make changes based on coverage and based on what teams are showing you.
The opener, where will the test be in this opener?
So Delaware Valley, they're a 5A school. They're actually the largest 5A school in Pennsylvania. So I think one of the biggest challenges is just going to be depth. Delaware Valley has a lot less two-way guys compared to Sealands Grove right now. They are a big physical team. They have a tight end, defensive end, Aiden Black, who's going to Stanford as a tight end. They're just they're big across the board. So it's going to be one of those matchups where I think Seelenger is a little quicker team at skill positions and on the line. But it's going to be a difficult test going up against a school that has a few more kids on the roster than Seelenger does, even though Seelenger has a good amount of kids out. But that's really going to be the big test. Are you going to be able to run the ball against a five-man front where you have 200-300-pound D tackles in there? So that's where I think it's going to come down to, is the line going to be able to open up some holes and give Pastore some time to maybe hit some big plays in the passing game.
This is Keith Olsemer's team, right?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, right there up in the border, right with New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania.
Correct.
You mentioned one final question. This is, you talked about the fact they play fewer two-way players. Seelens Grove in the Valley happens to be one of the schools that plays fewer two-way players. I mean, they have them, but they play fewer of them. How do you evaluate the depth moving forward in terms of two-way versus one-way players?
I think it's going to be fine over the course of the season. I really do. It's one of those things that, you know, right now where you see, you know, the depth might be sophomores that need to play a little bit. And I think by week five, week six, you're going to see a lot more guys rotating in. This isn't anything new. I think looking at starting lineups week one where, you know, you look and you see a lot of juniors and seniors playing both ways. And then I think this coaching staff over time has done a really good job of getting guys ready. And all of a sudden, you know, you have some of those guys that were sophomores and juniors coming into their own, and they might be starting week seven, week eight to just give guys breathers. So I think the depth is there. It's just going to take a little bit of time to build it. And Seelens Grove has their work cut out with Delaware Valley and then, you know, a 4A Juniata team that lost in the state playoffs and then Jersey Shore the first 3 weeks. So there's not any time to really kind of ease into this season. Guys are going to really need to step up and be ready to go from week one.
Your principal call, recess is over. Zach, thanks so much. Always a pleasure, and thanks Absolutely. So much for being with us and squeezing us in.
Hey, no problem. Look forward to it all season.
You bet. Zach Showers. So there you go, our opening high school roundtable of the season, where we found out what your real contributions were in the golf course. We found out that the Shikellamy football field, the new one, is pretty. And we found out that we aren't Zach's top priority. I thought the segment was successful. What do you think?
Oh, my almighty!
I give Zach a lot of credit teaching kids. You know, Greg and Chief, same thing in their life and careers. Phenomenal. Well, we're lucky to have all of them. Lucky to have all of them. And we thank them for joining us every week. And we're off and running with another high school football season tomorrow. Wow. I am so thrilled about that. As I was saying earlier, I know we're going to take a break here. But, I mean, I grew up in Connecticut. And, you know, and I started for a couple years in high school. And Kevin and I, my senior year, played together. And high school football was always cool, but we always played we played on Saturdays. And when we were kids, we'd go over and we'd watch the high school games. And then, of course, we got to play in them. And the crowds were fine, except on Thanksgiving, they'd set it up. We had a crosstown rival, a high school that no longer exists. But a crosstown rival, so on Thanksgiving morning at 10 a.m. we'd play, and they'd get maybe 10,000 people to the game. But then I came to Pennsylvania, and on a Friday night, I found out what big-time high school football looks like. Wow. Special.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the one event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors is having their 75th annual August new Ford truck sale with savings up to $8,465 and financing as low as 1.9%. All new Ford F-150s will be priced at just $75 over invoice, and they will come with a genuine Ford bedliner. Ford Motor Company has awarded SMC 42 additional F-150s to meet consumer demand during this unprecedented sale. The Ford F-150 is America's number one selling truck for 46 consecutive years, and one is sold every 49 seconds. Sunbury Motors has 23 new Ford Explorers available with savings up to $5,000, and they start from just $43,375. Pick from 17 of the totally redesigned Ford Escapes, and SMC has them slashed $2,500, and they start from only $30,890. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century. Hurry before someone gets your new truck.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way. Great technicians at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We have now gone through a show where we've had multiple guests and have only given you one opportunity to whine, moan, and complain.
Actually, it's kind of worked out pretty well because the rant I had about the Trey Lance situation is about all that I've seen that's come across so far that's gotten me that riled up.
Really?
So it's kind of worked out today so far.
Oh, well, good. Boy, I'm glad it's been such a calm day for you. That's great. I'll tell you right now, all that medication you were talking about's paid off. All right, so... Yeah. Well, the Iowa gambling story has been a big one. And it's something that we have harped on for weeks. This is not one of those things where it came up today or yesterday and we talked about it. We talked about it for weeks and we brought up Noah Shannon's name for about a month. He's going to appeal, but there's a difference, okay? There's a difference between pro sports and college sports. In pro sports, because of a union, when you appeal your suspension, you continue to play until there's a determination one way or the other. Not in college sports. Not in college sports. You don't play until it's determined what the end game is. So he has been suspended for the season, but the mystery is there are two other people, Matt, that have been also hit with some sort of sanction that they have not revealed yet because of FERPA laws. And the FERPA statute, which protects students, not just student-athletes, but students on campuses, that is, we may not find out who those other two happen to be until they play the opener. But what happens is that I remember when the story came out that they were going to put a casino, a mini casino, it's called, at the Nittany Mall, where Macy's used to be here in State College. And it hasn't been built yet. It hasn't. It's still going through whatever process it has to go through. You know, there have been people that have protested against it and so forth. Well, I mean, protested. There haven't been people with pickets or anything like that, but they've been against it. And somebody said, oh,
casino like that in a college town. Oh, you know, and a sports book to beat. Like, really? Well, the sports book part doesn't mean much of anything. I mean, I don't know how many casinos met. Well, I guess you've been to almost every casino. I've had calls from Bally's. I've had calls from the Wynn. You know. Yeah. They love you.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells found.
But, the bottom line is that when you look at sports, I mean, anytime I've been in a casino, and as you know, I've never placed a bet anytime. It's just not me. I have no intrigue to do it. There's not even a remote temptation to do it. It's just me. But I've been to many casinos because Penn State basketball has played in Atlantic City. They played in Las Vegas, you know. So I've been, places that, they played at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, and I've stayed there. I've stayed at these places. Well, you want to go down to dinner, you go to the casino. So I see it. I've been in a bunch of them. And you'll go by sportsbook. You know what I find interesting when you go by sportsbook? There aren't many people in it. You know what I mean? There aren't many people in a sportsbook. And one of the reasons, and the people that are there, they're placing their wagers and so forth, but they have multiple games and multiple sets, so it's almost like a sports bar atmosphere. People can make their wagers by phone now. They can use their phone. They can go online. They can go online with all this. And because they can go online to then make their wager, that's why having one here would be no big deal. It may be a big deal for people who want to play roulette, blackjack, things like that. Slots, whatever. But in terms of the sportsbook part of it, anybody could place it from their phone anytime, anywhere. What the players at Iowa and Iowa State are charged with is, A, they're underage, and B, they were using fake names, it is alleged, to place the bets, to essentially cover up that. Now, maybe they were covering up that they're underage, or maybe they were covering up the fact that as student athletes, they were trying to get people to not know who they are. Whatever. But that's why when I laugh when I hear, well, they must not be doing a great job of communicating the rules to them. They're using fake names. They know. I said, evidently, they do know the rules because they don't want to use their own names. They must know some rules. But as I said yesterday, and I continue to, I want to emphasize it, don't start jumping up and down because, oh, look what happened to them. Every coach in America is scared to death of this. They are so worried about it. It's another thing to worry about. And when the Alabama baseball scandal came up and the coach ended up being fired for it, the bet was made at Great America Ballpark in Cincinnati. And the Reds were on the road playing the A's at the time. But that tells you how diligent these people are looking for this stuff. That bet was made in Ohio. It wasn't even made in Birmingham or Tuscaloosa or Montgomery or whatever. It wasn't made in Huntsville. It was made in Ohio, and they tracked it down. Wow. What does that tell you? That's how diligent they are and how well they can track your phones. How well they can track your phones. Okay, so team goes over to Beaver Stadium tonight. It's a shorter, they had a long workout yesterday. And the long workout yesterday, Jack Ham was here, so spent a lot of time with Jack yesterday. We went over a lot of stuff. Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, had a long talk with him yesterday. Not a short talk. Not like, hey, how you doing? Great, hey, great to have you. Now, we talked for a while about a lot of different items. One of those you would have loved to have been a fly in the wall for. And Pat Kraft was over there, too. And Pat's going to be the guest on the show next Thursday night when we get going. It'll be Pat and then James Franklin. It all gets going next week. And I think that and tonight's going to be a shorter one. And they'll be more, then they'll do more tomorrow. They're up to the part now where they've broken into scout teams and they've been working on what West Virginia does. So that's where they are. No, James did not name a starting quarterback yesterday. Did not name a starting kicker yesterday. And he really, there was a very simple reason. You know what the simple reason was why he didn't do it yesterday?
Keep the competition up.
No, to make you mad.
Listen, I mean, I think the specialists are a different story. But as far as the quarterback goes, I mean, he doesn't need, in this case, he doesn't need to name a starter. I mean, this is almost a lazy, I don't want to say lazy, I think that's a little too harsh, but we all know who the starter is going to be. It's going to be number 15, and I won't be surprised if we see a little bit of Bo in there in certain packages throughout the course of a game.
Well, same thing with West Virginia. He hasn't named a starting quarterback, but he did say that he knows who it is. And the team knows who it is. Okay. I don't care. I can figure out numbers and names. not that worried about it. Then there's your guy, Cashman. He says the fans have made their thoughts on him loud and clear. They're disappointed. Quote, it's been a disaster of a season. We're embarrassed by it. Wow. Are you embarrassed?
Yeah, his team has been an embarrassment this year, no doubt about it.
Wow. Cashman was noncommittal on Aaron Boone. Cashman said that Boone has been doing everything he possibly can do, and that he's pulling all his levers. He noted that Boone called the team meeting following Friday's loss to the Red Sox, and after that, they promptly lost more games in a row. He said Boone would be evaluated, though he didn't say by whom. I think we're all going to be evaluated, Cashman said. We're going to look at every aspect of the operation because that's what you have to do under these circumstances. He says, nobody's happy here. Are you happy, Matt?
No, I'm not happy with where the season's gone.
Two wonderful kids, great family. You're not happy. Wow. He says, we're better than this, but it's not... But they have not played better than this. We'll see. Stay tuned. The first comment of the story, no one does less with more than Cashman. Next comment was, well, as long as Boone is pulling all the levers. The next comment was, I feel better already.
While I don't necessarily disagree with those comments, I will say this.
These are your people commenting. They're speaking for you.
I know. But I will say this. I thought it was refreshing, and I'm not surprised by this. I expect this from Cashman. He always has been pretty frank about the situation of a team. While still giving the, quote, GM speak, in terms about Boone on doing all he can do and stuff like that. I thought he was pretty frank, and I give him credit for standing up like that to the media, saying it's an embarrassment and a disaster of a season, because that's exactly how fans characterize it.
I mean,
that's the only thing I always give him credit for, is he's always honest in terms of evaluating the team.
There really isn't much more Boone can do. I mean, do I think he's one of the top managers in the game? No, I don't. I never have. But I also think that he is limited by his personnel as to which buttons he can push. Hey, let's push the button where we're stealing bases. We don't have anybody who can steal bases. Okay, well, why don't we put some tape over that button and not use it? Then there's your guy Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame. He was on the Dan Patrick Show. He called the state of college athletics, quote, a complete disaster.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Everybody in the industry has to take responsibility here. I'm not excluding myself from that. The decision-making lost its way in terms of the focus of the student-athlete and what's primarily best for them. But we are where we are, and we have to try and make it work. This is your guy.
Again, I don't disagree. But at the same time, he needs to get up with the times at the same time, or else it's going to get worse for him and not everybody else in college football.
Well, he's not going to be there. He's retiring.
Regardless, Notre Dame's got to stop being an independent.
I mean, this is your team. Do you follow who comes and goes there? I worry about it. If it's not Aaron Judge and Jalen Hurts, you don't know anything about your teams. I mean, you should have heard how confused you were when Hurts got hurt. What do we do now? Who's that guy, quarterback? That's not Jalen Hurts. Who's this Bowers guy? That's why I was talking about war in my classroom. I said, this guy goes, well, he was talking about Francisco Lindor, and he says he's fifth among war among shortstops. This is what the kid says to me in class. I said, looked at him, I said, do you have two eyes? I said, they're both working. I said, he's not one of the top five shortstops in the game. I said, he used to be, but he isn't now. So I worry about all this, like all this statistical mumbo jumbo. You have two eyes. Is Lindor one of the top five shortstops of the game? Right. So let's take Judge. Judge exits. I don't need a WAR number to tell me he's one of the top players in the game. And when Bowers is playing right field, the Yankees aren't as good. I got it. Ay. All these stats were made up for people who really don't know what they're saying. He's fifth in WAR. He's not playing as well. The guy was an all-star. Right now, he's... I don't know what he's doing out there. But he's fifth in WAR, though. That means there are 25 other shortstops behind him. Really? Okay. I could name 15 off the top of my head right now that are playing better than he is. And at some point, Volpe will start hitting. Volpe's not a bad shortstop. He's actually pretty good out there.
Yeah, he's definitely gotten a lot better as the year's gone on. I've always liked him, always, and so far I've been that same way. So
impressive. We'll wrap things up on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.